assume that I want Calum back.
Okay, gotta assume that.
Okay, I'm going to call this meeting to order at 6:14. I apologize for the delay. Every technical issue that could happen is happening, which is fantastic. So we're going to start off with attendance. So, President Yamagishi. Vice President Chellen.
Present.
Vice President Kuzmu. Vice President Chima.
Present.
Vice President Sumar.
Present.
Governor Kelly.
Present.
Councillor Milner. Councillor Kim.
Yes.
Councillor Kim.
Yes.
Councillor McGinn. Councillor Kinda. Councillor Mills is here. Councillor Ruth.
Present.
Councillor Borden.
Present.
Councillor Lay.
Present.
Councillor Holt? Is Councillor Holt? Councillor Smith?
Present.
Councillor Kulu? Councillor Liang? Councillor Crone? Present. Councillor Babick?
Present.
Mr. Lott for Councillor Reet for present. Councillor Carson?
Present.
Councillor Bellinger? Councillor Chaudhry?
Present.
Councillor Champagne is here. Councillor Trong?
Present.
Councillor Kuchi Kazil?
Yep.
Councillor Nguyen?
Present.
Councillor Pham? Councillor Bui is here. Councillor Monfries?
Here.
Okay, I'm going to need to ask you to sign a confidentiality form, if you please. Come up here. And Councillor Hodgson? He's not here. Okay. Sorry? Okay, and I am here, and Mr. Dumichel is not. Okay, so we're going to move on to announcements and speaker's business. So the next meeting of Students' Council is going to take place on Tuesday, June 26th. In terms of special orders, I'm going to be moving from the late editions, item 7D and also item 7E. As for standing orders, these are going to be special orders at every meeting, given other nominations. And they will take place in regular succession in the normal agenda. And item 6A is going to replace item 6A on the main agenda, and it is the same motion with slightly different wording in terms of the introduction to the motion. And that was partly an administrative error, and so that's why that's moving. So if you have any questions about that, feel free to ask a point of parliamentary inquiry. But with that, we will move right into executive committee reports. So are there any members of the executive who wish to make a report? Vice President Sumar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a few things to add on to my written report. My apologies that it was quite late, but because of a complication on Thursday, I wasn't able to do it on Thursday and did it on Friday. So, first off, I had a tour of East Hampton Village with the director of Residence Life, Dima Buka, which we talked about deferred maintenance, et cetera, et cetera. It was really interesting, really informative, and it's part of a full sort of suite of tours that I'm doing with Dima for different residences. Next is Vice President Academic and I went to a meeting of the Toastmasters Club, which was really exciting. If you guys are involved in these student groups, I encourage you all to invite the executive because we love coming out to that kind of stuff. So it was really great, and it was nice to see some students there. We also met with the GSA earlier today. We sort of talked about our goals and had a nice lunch with them. And finally, yesterday as well as earlier today, I talked about the International Students Association with Chaka Zinyemba, Vice President Chellen, and Councillor Kim. So a lot of stuff moving forward with that association. That being said, I encourage you to ask lots of questions through the question period. Thanks.
So I actually made a mistake in that standing orders, given that there are no presentations today, nominations should take place immediately after presentations normally, so I apologize for that. But we will actually take care of nominations right now before moving on to the rest of the executive reports. I apologize again to council for any disturbance. So with that, we're going to turn to the main agenda, to item 7D, which is... Smith moves to appoint one member of Students' Council to the Bylaw Committee. So do I have a seconder for that motion? Vice President Sumar, is Councilor Smith? He is not. Oh, Councilor Smith is here. I apologize. Okay, Councilor Smith, would you care to introduce?
Okay, we just noticed at our last bylaw meeting that we still have room for one more person on the committee. We meet on Wednesdays, on Council Wednesdays at 5:30. It would be great if you guys could come out. It's been a great day. The people on it are amazing, so I really recommend it. I suck, but everyone else knows that. So I really recommend going for it.
Point of information.
Yeah.
Who's on the committee right now?
Okay, so we have Sadiq. We have... who's our vice president, Sumer? We have Chowdhury. We have Councillor Babich, and then we have Kuchik. Kuchik Kuril, and and Kinda as well, Councillor Kinda.
Thank you very much. Are there any nominations? Governor Kelly.
I'd like to nominate myself.
Very well. Are there any further nominations? Going once, going twice. With that, congratulations to Governor Kelly. Okay, so now we're going to move on to item 7D from the late editions. And that is Yamagishi Kuzumu moves that Students' Council elect one member of Students' Council to be appointed to the Vice Provost and University Registrar Selection Committee. President Yamagishi, would you care to introduce?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So this is a very important committee appointment. It's for the selection of a Vice Provost and University Registrar. The current registrar is going to be stepping down from this position next year in 2013. It's a very, very important position. The registrar takes care of all sorts of different academically related materials. They do all the scheduling and whatnot. And they run a very, very large office that runs out of the administration building right there. So, more or less, whoever is chosen for this committee has quite a heavy dedication on the second page of the packets. It shows the meetings that you'll have to attend for the selection, as well as a number of private meetings and
Thank you very much. Are there any nominations? Councillor Bellinger.
Thank you, Mr.
Speaker. I nominate myself. Very well. Are there any further nominations? President Yamagishi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to nominate Vice President Sheldon.
Vice President Sheldon, do you accept?
I do. Thanks.
Are there any further nominations? Governor Kelly.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Carson.
Councillor Carson, do you accept?
I do not. Thank you so much, though.
Are there any further nominations? Okay. So with that, we will give each candidate 1 minute to speak, and then we'll proceed to a vote. So we'll start off with an order they're nominated in. So Councillor Bellinger, you have 1 minute.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would love to be on this committee. I had the chance last year to be on the Students' Selection Committee for the Vice President in advance. It was a fantastic experience. It was a chance for me to actually start building a relationship with other folks who are higher up the university, like Iran and Carl, although Carl will be on the committee this year. I would love to have that chance again. that serve on this committee and see what the registrar selection is like, and to, you know, gain more knowledge about that portfolio. So yeah, I hope that you can see that I'd be a great fit, and I do believe that I can make all of the committee meeting times as per the fact that I'll be doing my classes next semester. So, you know, there won't be an issue of, you know, Eric has no time again. So please, we'll meet you with the committee again. I'll have a chance again. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and Vice President Chalin, you have 1 minute.
Awesome, thank you very much. Thank you, President Mikishu, for the nomination. For those of you that don't know, the registrar is responsible for a large number of support structures on campus, student records, recruitment awards, scholarship, ceremonies, student financials and registration being some of the main ones. That is a key area of my portfolio. I work quite regularly with the registrar and the committees that I sit on. So ultimately, it is quite relevant to the work of the Vice President Academic. We are collaborating on a number of things this year, including Fairfax Economic Policy, a rising welcome center, as well as scholarships and bursaries. And so I look forward to an opportunity to make sure that the Students' Union has a positive influence on the selection of a new registrar that targets. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Vice President Chellen. Okay, so we are going to proceed to a vote, and we're going to use the buttons on your keypad. So, what we'll do is, number one will be a vote for Councillor Bellinger. Number two will be a vote for Vice President Chellen. And don't feel like you have to vote if you don't want to. And number three will count as an abstain if you would like. Does everybody understand? If you are on Skype, feel free just to type in your message, as the text is now working, so you don't need to text me. And so again, one is for Councillor Bellinger, two is for Vice President Chellen, and three is for abstention. And you may vote now. Vice President Chellen. Okay, we will move on to
parliamentary inquiries.
Go ahead.
Were we able to abstain for other votes like that? This is the first time I've ever heard of being able to abstain in a vote like that.
No, so you can abstain whenever you want. I think the way that I've done it in the past, I believe, is just saying follow the key. So it's yes, no, or abstain to every candidate that we've talked about. You can abstain at every time. Generally, there aren't a lot of abstentions for nominations, which is why I perhaps didn't emphasize it as much as I could have in previous votes. But you can abstain for any vote. Actually, that is a good point. A reason for abstention, for example, could be if you are one of the candidates. You don't have to abstain. People do vote for themselves, but that is sometimes why someone would abstain from a vote. Okay, so with that, we'll move on to item 7E on the late editions, which is Mills moves to appoint one member of Students' Council to the Council Administration Committee, and is there a seconder for this motion? Councillor Smith. And Councillor Mills, would you like to introduce?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. So we had a recent resignation from our committee and would like to fill that position. So please consider nominating yourself. It's a really fun committee. Thanks.
Great. So with that, are there any nominations? Councillor Carson.
I would like to nominate Councillor Cuccicurio.
Councillor Cuccicazil, do you accept?
What?
Councillor Borden.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Smith.
Councillor Smith, do you accept?
I accept.
Councillor Lay.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Monfries.
Councillor Monfries, do you accept?
I accept.
Perfect. Councillor Bellinger.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Carson.
Councillor Carson, do you accept?
I have already from the chair of guests.
thank you, though. If I could fill two positions, I would. Victory was my permanent substitute for this. Yeah.
Oh, Councilor Wynn.
I would like to nominate Councilor Bellinger.
Councilor Bellinger.
As I just stepped out of this committee.
Very well. Are there any further nominations? Okay, so with that, we will close nominations, and Councillor Smith and Councillor Monfries will each be afforded a minute to speak, starting with Councillor Smith. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you for the nomination. To be honest, I'm there anyways. I've been to every CAC meeting, so I would recommend not voting for me, just because I will be there anyways, and it would be better to pass it off to someone else.
Okay, thank you very much. Councillor Monfries.
Considering this was the first meeting with Students Union, after consultation with Councillor Jeff, I feel I don't know enough about this committee to be a strong member in it, so unfortunately, I thank you, Josh, for the nomination. you don't have to vote for me.
Okay, so just so Councillor knows, my understanding of the two presentations that just happened is that both Councillors, though they recommended not to vote for them, did not actually withdraw their names from the vote. So with that, we are going to proceed to a vote on the two Councillors. And what we will do is we will do a number one will be for Councillor Smith, number two will be for Councillor Monfries, and a three will be for abstain, and feel free if you're on Skype to just type in.
You may vote now.
I was there all the time. I voted for you as chair.
Councilor Chastain, you have 3 seconds. 2 seconds. I apologize, Council. This vote could make the difference between who gets nominated, and there's a problem with Skype, which is going to be fixed momentarily, so if you could just hold tight.
Oh, God.
I'm going to close the vote from Council's perspective in 3, 2, 1. Perfect. Okay, congratulations to Councilor Monfries. Okay, Council, now I apologize again for this, for interrupting the Executive Committee reports, but we'll move back on to Executive Committee reports. And with that, I believe Vice President Chellen had his slide up, so go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Two things to report. First of all, I'll remind you once again of what I said in my report, and that is that we are hiring an undergraduate research symposium coordinator. It's an honorary intern student position that will be hired from, I believe, June 11th to December 1st, sometime in December. The application deadline for that is this Friday. So if you or any of your friends are interested in becoming more involved with the Students' Union, not you, you aren't eligible to work for the Students' Union and be a counselor, if I understand correctly. But if any of your friends are interested in being more involved in the Students' Union and have a passion for either programming or research, I encourage them to apply. Second thing is that I found an opening for 5 students to participate in a focus group with the Vice Provost of Information and Technology and incoming Dean of Science, Jonathan Schaefer, as well as Jeffrey Chesney, the web strategy director of the university on optimizing an online learning environment. In 30 years from now, how are we going to learn online? There'll be a one-hour focus group happening on June 21st, 22nd, or 27th. If you and any of your friends are interested, please send me an email. Makes sense. It's a lot of information.
Yeah.
Have there been any specifics released as to how much this is a bursary or how much the money will be behind this bursary?
The undergraduate research symposium coordinator?
Yes.
Yes, there has. It's approximately $2,600. I can't remember the number.
Thank you very much. Are there any other executive members who wish to make a report? President Yamaguchi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I'd like to start my report by congratulating Councilor Montes for joining us and becoming our newest member. We're very glad to have you, and if you have any questions about anything, feel free to ask it to the executives or your fellow councillors. We're very happy to have you here. The members, the Vice President, Student Manager, the Conference of Finance, and myself will be traveling to Montreal tomorrow for the Skincare Health and Planning Plan stakeholder meeting. So it should be a great time. There's a lot of interesting things happening in Montreal right now that we might check out, so it'll be pretty cool. I've been spending most of my time looking at things like the fall renewing proposal, as well as the COSCI and the two announcements I have. So the Farmers Market Coordinator position, I believe it closed as well on this Friday, so if anyone's interested in looking for a summer job, it's about 3 hours. So that out. And yeah, there was one more thing I was going to say, but I can't remember what it was, so it's not something that important. But glad to see you guys. It seems like you haven't been here for a long time. I don't know why. But I'm very happy to be here.
I'm sorry, the mic was off. Vice President Kuzmu.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to give my deepest apologies to council for running late. I'm complicating tomorrow, so I was just trying to figure out some stuff. So nonetheless, my report, I'm not going to kind of go over it, but I'm just going to add some stuff that's happened recently. I'm trying to set up two meetings with two federal liberal senators, so that should be fun. They're going to be dropping by town. And just making some plays in terms of executive role, so that's pretty much it. So you guys ask me.
Thank you very much. Are there any further members of the executive wishing to report? Nope. Okay. Moving on to board and committee reports. Are there any committee chairs or report that can report? Governor Kelly.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I don't have anything, obviously I don't want to reiterate anything that's been said in my report, but I just want to send a big shout out to Councillors Smith, Ruth, Bellinger, and Kim, who attended the first ever time the Students' Union has marched in the Pride Parade here in Edmonton. I hope it sets a precedent that the SU will be participating in the future as well. And also I'd like to apologize for if some have noticed that there's a blank page on the end of my report. That was not my name, it was not my intention. So I apologize for wasting trees. That is all.
Thank you very much. Vice President Sumar.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. The Elections Review Committee met today. We had a nice presentation from the former Speaker slash Councillor Michael Ross, who told us all about the current voting system that we have, as well as the two variations that have been proposed in the past. Herb, I think, had a very interesting question-answer period right after that, so a lot of stuff for Herb to do. In terms of that. So just thought I'd relay that on to the rest of the council.
Thank you very much. Are there any other committee chairs who wish to make report? If you're on Skype, the instant message isn't working, so you're going to have to say something if you want to speak up. So seeing no more reports, we'll move directly on to question period. So, question period is now open for 15 minutes. Councillor Bellinger.
Thank
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the chair of the Elections Review Committee. Just wondering, in those discussions with old Councillor Ross, past Councillor Ross, I suppose, if everybody put it, is the Elections Review Committee bringing up the question of changing our electoral system again for the third time in 3 years, or is that off the table this year?
President Smart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think at this point that is a possibility for the Elections Review Committee. And as it stands, I think the voting system changed twice. The third time that Councilor Bellinger was talking about was a change that was made for the next year, but was never actually implemented. What we're looking at is figuring out what the best voting system is for students, what the most fair voting system is. I don't know if anyone else on the committee has anything else they want to add to that, but we definitely won't be making any decisions without having full information, and not just what former Councillor Ross has told us, but also different sources of information. So we're not making a decision based on one source, we're making a decision based on numerous sources.
Thank you very much. Are there any further questions? President Yamagishi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for Councillor Smith, and it is, why are one-on-one meetings with the President so amazing, and why should everyone have to sign up for one to do one?
Councillor Smith.
I think, Mr. Speaker, many reasons. Besides the great company of the President and his broccoli, it is very beneficial. It helps clarify your role, and also you can set goals of what you want to accomplish. It adds accountability to that as well. It also allows you to understand what the executive is trying to go through. All in all, it's for everyone. It's good if we have a focused agenda on what we want to do, and I think that conglomerating all of our ideas is beneficial.
Thank you very much. Are there any further questions? Councillor Babick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This question is for VP Sumar. It's again going back to the Elections Review Committee. Could you just quickly outline those three systems that you mentioned, the one that is currently in place and the two past ones that we've used, kind of what the main differences are, et cetera? Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That's a great question. So the three systems are, there's the instant runoff vote, there's the single transferable vote, and there's a hybrid of the SUV system, which was sort of the reopen nominations voting system. The first one that we currently use is instant runoff. Basically, what it says, very, very simply, is that it takes sort of anyone winning 50% of the votes, their votes get transferred. So the second place votes are weighted just as much as the first place votes. That is sort of like the main difference is how much second place votes count as well as what percentage. So when you do instant runoff, all you need to get is 50% of however many votes of that round. So whether it's first place, second place, et cetera, et cetera. We have single transferable votes. The way it works is that the percentage of votes that you need to get depends on how many candidates there are. So if there are two candidates, the threshold for votes is, I don't think it's 50, it means 33% because of NOTA. So if you get 33% of the votes plus one, you win that seat. The difference here being is that if there are multiple open seats, that the transfer of votes is not actually, the second place votes don't count as much as the first place votes, they're fractionally counted. Does that make sense? So if I need 60 votes to win a certain seat and I get 80, the 20 votes are transferred, but they're not transferred as 20 votes, they're transferred as a fraction of that. Reopen nominations is a modification on STB. Currently, with none of the above, if none of the above wins an election, all the remaining seats are declared vacant. With reopen nomination, what that would do is it would use the same system as single transferable vote, except that when NOTA wins a seat in a multiple seat race, their pool sort of reopens. So if you have, let's say, six seats that are open and NOTA wins the first seat, the remaining number of seats gets transferred into a second seat. That makes sense. So what happens is that not all the remaining positions are declared vacant. And so it gets transferred into a second seat. If that once again passes the threshold, it gets passed on to a third seat. So that gives the opportunity for there to be sort of less vacancies. One example that Mr. Ross pointed to was, I think last year's, not like 2011, 2012, but 2010, 2011, the General Faculties Council vote for science. NOTA had won the majority of the votes. It had 170 votes, whereas the next person had won 167 votes, first place votes. With that, with the system that we currently have, all those seats would be vacant. But as a result, I think there were no vacancies because of the instant runoff vote system that we use. With reopen nominations, I think none of the above would have won two seats, and the remaining seats would have been filled. I hope that gives you a clear idea. I know there's a lot of extra information, but...
Plenty of information.
Go for it.
Why is this so convoluted, and why is affirmation not used? Simple affirmation.
I don't know. That's another consideration for the committee. I mean, we're not just considering the three systems that were presented to us today. It's just we're also considering all the different types of systems. The information that Mr. Ross will pass on to you will also be passed on to the council if there is, if we're considering a change in the type of voting system. Because ultimately, council has the ability to approve that, not the election committee.
Okay. Councilor Carson.
I had to write this down. So I was not present at the council retreat, but I heard that there were some jokes exchanged surrounding sexual preference and gender. And I would like to know how, now that we've officially made ourselves allies to the LGBTQA community by marching in that parade, how are we going to support LGBTQA rights as counselors and as BSU as a whole in our daily lives? And in our elected positions. And I know I can't ask you all this personally, so I would love it if you come to talk to me after. Can I ask my question to two? No. Okay, I'm gonna ask this question to Governor Kelly and hope that he defers to our president.
Governor Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll speak to just briefly the reasons why I thought it was important that the SU take a stand, because as far as I know, the Students' Union hadn't participated in the Pride Parade before. And from my perspective, I do see the Students' Union as an organization that is affirming of the LGBT community, and so I felt that it was a very good way to partially fill an element of our strategic plan for us to participate in that. But with that, perhaps I will defer the rest of my speaking turn to the president.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Governor Kelly. As far as the specific comments that were made, I think not this is the first time I've heard of anything like that. For what we are going to do to support the LGBT community and LGBTQ students, last year, in my position as Vice President of Student Life, we went to the Day of Silence event and spoke at the event. I'm fairly certain that the Vice President of Student Life will be invited again. I'm continuing my kind of ongoing project of looking towards putting an LGBTQ center into the Centennial Building. Hopefully this could be a large part of the sub-renovation in the lower level. And what we're looking to do with this is to provide services for LGBTQ students and allies where, you know, it's not quite certain what the support would be, but
relating to something like counseling, information, education, and just a general thing about space. So I've done consultation with almost every sexual diversity group on campus, and have really, really good response from this. But with that, I'll defer to the Vice President.
Thank you very much, Mr. President, Governor Kelly, and Councillor Carson. Yeah, this is what I've heard about comments surrounding sexual orientation or gender being made inappropriately at the council retreat too. And so I encourage you to either talk to the speaker or someone else about those concerns. I think that is something that's really important that's happening and not being addressed. From my perspective, I would say, yes, you support those. I think one of the strongest ways is by building a supportive working environment for LGBTQA individuals, and I think that's something that our organization has been committed to for quite a long time. An organization that supports those people and supports campaigns like the Safe Space campaign as well. I also argue that the DSU has done a really good job of supporting the specialized student groups as well, that focus on LGBTQA issues, outreach, SMS, outlaw, Camp Firefly as well. So I'm sorry to hear that something happened. So I will defer whatever's left of our speaking turn, our collective speaking turn, to Governor Kelly.
Is that loud?
Yes, so there actually are no limits to how long you can speak in question period. It's just the allotted time is 15 minutes. However, I haven't been really monitoring this, but your microphone should technically still be on while you transfer the speaking turn to someone who you're deferring to. Otherwise, the question is technically over, which you've all done, but it's okay.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President, Mr. President, and Councillor Carson. And just with regards to that, I made a recommendation in the Council Administration Committee that perhaps the next council retreat there be a mandatory safe spaces training session for members of council to sort of be more aware, to be more careful about sort of the terminology they're using, even if it is just for the purposes of, you know, joking or fooling around. But that's just sort of something I just mentioned. And I'd like to transfer my speaking turn to the President.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to echo these concerns that if any comments or any remarks were made that made anyone feel uncomfortable, our student union and our strategic plan, we follow one of our strategic goals, which is compassion. We want to make sure that this environment is as inclusive as possible for everyone who partakes in anything to do with council or as a member of our student union in general. So I would really appreciate if anyone could come to me to relay these concerns, and want to make sure that they're addressed, because that kind of behavior will not be tolerated. So thank you.
Thank you very much. And are there any further questions? Seeing none, we will call a question period to an end, just under 15 minutes. And we will move right on to board and committee business. And so, as I mentioned, item 6A on the main agenda will be replaced by item 6A on the late editions, which is the same wording, just formatted slightly differently with the introduction slightly modified. And so that motion reads, Smith moves that upon the recommendation of the Bylaw Committee, Students' Council approve Bill Number 1, that Students' Council adopt the Bylaw Replenishment in first reading based on the following principles. 1. The Students' Union should have a procedure to replenish vacant Executive and Board of Governors representative positions that is democratic, expedient, and transparent. 2. An Executive Selection Nomination Committee should be used to narrow candidates in the event of over 10 candidates. 3. If the vacancy occurs in time for the position to be filled on the September by-election, and an interim executive shall be placed in the position until this by-election by Students' Council. 4. If the vacancy occurs after the September by-election, Students' Council shall choose the person to fill the position permanently. Is there a seconder to this motion? Vice President Sumar. With that, Councillor Smith, would you care to introduce? Go ahead.
Would you also have the motion on the screen?
I was just about to do that while he was introducing, sir.
Thank you very much.
Councillor Smith.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. This is a follow-up from my presentation at the last meeting.
What I want to remind people with respect to this replenishment bill is that this is the principles. I believe that there is a grammar error, but we'll work on it. But this, what you're trying to work on, is it's not supposed to be debating the specifics. It's the general idea that you're supposed to do. So just work on that and open to discussion.
Thank you very much. Is there any debate? Just to remind council, if you have a question, you should ask the question to the floor. You can name a councillor or executive member who you hope will address the question, but you must address your question to the floor, as there are no direct questions in question or in debate. So with that, is there any debate? Vice President Sumar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move an amendment.
I'm sorry, sir. We need someone to speak in favor and against the motion until we move an amendment. Councillor Dellinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to speak in favor of this amendment. This does reflect the presentation we had last meeting. Also for the fun fact that speaks to our question period earlier, this is actually one of the first bylaws that I've seen come through council where I haven't had to correct any gendered language. So props to the bylaw committee for that one.
President Yamaguchi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for need of having any comments against. I generally like this motion, but it looks like it could be amended to become a little bit better.
Vice President Sumar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move an amendment.
Go ahead.
Thank you. My amendment, they're multiple, but they're mostly grammatical in nature. So I'd like to move to amend point 3 to read, if the vacancy occurs in time for the position to be filled in the September by-election, comma, an interim executive shall be placed in a position until this by-election by students council.
Is that correct, sir?
I can't read. Can't read that far. And he has eagle eyes. Sorry, the Vice President of Officials and Finance has eagle eyes, so he told me that it's correct.
Very well, so I'm guessing you're wanting to move this as an omnibus motion, Vice President?
Yes.
Yes. So what that means, Council, is that all of these amendments will be placed before Council in one motion. If you would like to separate the amendments, you certainly can. You just move a motion to divide. Question? Or sorry, a motion to separate the motion. So with that, is there a seconder to this amendment? Councillor Smith? Actually, I'm going to assume this motion is friendly unless I see any opposition. Seeing none, the motion is carried. Moving back to the main motion, is there any debate? Vice President Chima.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move an amendment to the motion.
Go ahead.
The amendment would be to strike the word permanently at the end of the motion and replace with for the remainder of the term.
Is that correct, Vice President Chima?
Yeah, it looks good.
Is there a second to this amendment? Vice President Sumar, is there any opposition to carrying this motion as friendly? Seeing none, the motion is carried. Moving back to debate on the main motion, is there any debate? Vice President Kuzma.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My general question is in regards to the third point about if a vacancy occurs in time for the position to be filled by the September by-election. My concerns with that would be, let's say, if there is a resignation that happened in the middle of May, so we have to wait all the way until the September by-election, or am I misunderstanding that? That's my next, just a question.
Thank you very much. Vice President Sumar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to speak in favor of this motion. I think the bylaw committee this year and last year has put a lot of work into it. As to responding to Vice President Kuzma's inquiry, if you continue reading the third clause, if there is an executive vacancy, there would be an interim executive placed in that position until the by-election. And that's how I read these principles. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. Councilor Ballinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll move an amendment.
Go ahead.
Point two. After narrow striking candidates, or sorry, adding in between the two, adding the pool of no matter how good personal fingers are. And of the, or I guess, and the second amendment, I'm having on the list, and then strike in the event of, and related should. And after candidates at the end, put the blank. Period.
Correct?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there a second to this motion? President Yamagishi, is there any opposition to carrying this amendment as friendly?
Right. Should candidates not be crossed out?
Yeah, I can say you're
right. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move an amendment to the amendment.
Very well.
For the sentence to make sense, the candidates should not be removed. Say the pool of candidates should, et cetera, et cetera.
Is that correct?
Sure.
Yes? Is there a seconder to this amendment? Councillor Bellinger. Very well. Is there any opposition to carrying this amendment as friendly? Seeing none, the motion is carried. Moving back to the amendment, main amendment, is there any opposition to carrying this amendment as friendly? Very well, the amendment is carried. Moving on to debate on the main motion, is there any debate? Seeing none, Vice President Shima.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's a bit of an asymmetry in point two about the pool of candidates. I'm not quite sure what the intent is, I'm not sure what the amendment would be to fix it. But the issue I'm seeing, for example, is that if you have eight candidates, then it seems that all eight candidates will go to Students' Council. If you have nine, all nine will go to Council. If you have ten, all ten will go to Council. But if you have 11, then you have this committee which can narrow it down to, say, two candidates. So it just seems to be a bit of an imbalance in how the pool of candidates is restricted before it reaches Students' Council's desk.
Thank you very much. Councillor Bellinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To speak to that point, if my memory serves me correctly, there will be a committee struck as for representation last meeting to narrow it back down to 10 candidates. Should more than 10 candidates apply, 10 candidates will be a threshold and will come to Council. Maximum. So I can maybe work to bring the number down to 10 for candidates.
Thank you very much. Is there any further debate? Vice President Shima.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move an amendment.
Go ahead.
The amendment would be to assert the words to 10 after the candidate. So to narrow the pool of candidates to 10, should over 10 candidates apply.
So strike over and replace with 2?
No, the pool of candidates. Immediately after candidates. Pool of candidates, 210.
Is that correct?
I think.
Vice President, you ask right? Very well, is there a second with the motion? Councilor Bellinger. Is there any opposition to carrying this amendment as friendly? Seeing none, the amendment is carried. Okay, so moving on to debate on the main motion. Is there any further debate? President Yamagishi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was just chatting with the Vice President of Operations and Finance, and one thing that we're not sure if it really belongs in this bylaw is the fact that in the interim period where
is, for example, if the president was to be vacated from their seat, that automatically through bylaw, the vice president of operations and finance would step into the position while this whole process is taking place. And because it's already gone on into the second quarter, I think that it should be in this bylaw as well. So, up for debate.
Thank you very much. Is there any further debate? I'm sorry, Councillor Plunger, you've had two speaking turns already. Governor Kelly.
Sorry. It's personal privilege, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, Governor Kelly.
I'd like to defer my speaking tour to Councillor Bellinger.
Councillor Bellinger, go ahead.
Thank you, Governor Kelly. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move to the motion.
Go ahead.
Under point four, right before the word term at the end. And I'm having wording trouble, so please be free to make an amendment to this amendment. And for the remainder of the positions, elect, or the positions, and then a word term, it, like expected or usual, or, you know, it's very expected, and then we'll amend it from there. For the point being that we, the term is not very descriptive or good, you know, it's not very long term.
Thank you very much. Is there a second to this amendment? Sorry, what's your name? Sorry.
Milner.
Councillor Milner, I apologize. Very well. Is there any debate on this amendment? Councillor Lay?
You will to add an apostrophe after before the S on positions.
Councillor Lay is moving an amendment to add an apostrophe after positions, before positions. Is there a seconder to this? Vice President Sumar? Is that correct, Councilor Lay? Is there any opposition to carrying this amendment as friendly? President Yamagishi?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move an amendment to the amendment.
Sorry, President Yamagishi, that turns out of order. is there any debate on the amendment to the amendment, which is adding in an apostrophe after S? Seeing none, it is carried. So right now we are on the amendment, which is for the remainder of the position's expected term, and President Yamagishi is rising. He is out of speaking term. That is correct. Councillor Kuchigazel.
Just out of curiosity, wouldn't it be better to say executive's expected term with the apostrophe before the S? So that's specific executive.
That would be a question to the floor, Councillor, so anyone can feel free to answer that question if they would like. Vice President Sumar is out of speaking terms as well. Is there any other debate on this?
Can I defer to someone?
You certainly can.
I defer to Governor Kelly.
Very well, Governor Kelly.
To speak to that, if the this bylaw is for executive and Board of Governors representatives, so we need to be inclusive. If it just specifies executive, then so it needs to be inclusive of both. Thank you.
Sorry, point of parliamentary inquiry, Mr. Speaker.
Go ahead.
When we're talking about speaking terms, do those also apply when you're making an amendment, or do those apply when you're talking about the general motion?
My interpretation is that they would count when you're making an amendment because you must be recognized in order to make an amendment. Feel free to challenge that interpretation if you would like. Is there any further debate on this amendment? Vice President Chellen.
I'd like to defer to the President.
President Yamagishi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move an amendment.
An amendment to the amendment? Go ahead.
That would be for the remainder of the position's general elected term.
I apologize, this is confusing. This doesn't allow two layers of edits, unlike council. So, does everyone understand what is meant by this, for the amendment to the amendment? We're striking the word expected. Yes? that's what you meant with me. Is there a seconder to this amendment? Vice President Sumar, is there any debate on this amendment? Seeing none, the amendment is carried. We are on to the amendment. Is there any further debate on the amendment to the motion? Seeing none, we will go to a vote. Oh, a vote on the amendment. I'm going to have to turn off the screen in order for Skype individuals to read. Go ahead.
Is there any opposition to carrying this amendment, Mr. President?
I'm going to go to a vote on this one just because there already was amendments and debates with this particular motion. I feel like it's necessary, even though it could be a very one-sided vote. So we're going to carry that. If you're in favor, one. If you abstain, two. If you're against, three. If you're on Skype, go ahead and vote. Oops, sorry, you're not eligible yet. You may vote now. Votes are closing in 3, 2, 1. Very well, that motion carries. And we are moving back to debate on the main motion. Is there any further debate? Vice President Shima.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to follow up on the comment raised by President Yamagishi a few moments ago regarding the Vice President of Operations and Finance. As some of you may know, the VP Office by is the Executive Vice President of the Students' Union. So that means, according to the bylaw, in the absence of the president, the VP Operations and Finance has the authority to direct the general manager. So if the president is away on vacation, then the VP Operations and Finance, for most intents and purposes, becomes the president and the organization reports to them. Similarly, if the president, if the position of the president is vacant, then the VP Operations and Finance automatically fills in at least for a certain period of time. So I think the concern that's been raised by the president is that this doesn't address that aspect of bylaw. So one question is, if there's an interim president that's chosen by council, would that conflict with bylaw, which states that the VP Operations and Finance is the acting president? Or is the fact that an interim president has been selected, does that count as a president of bylaw? So there's a bit of an ambiguity in bylaw as to what it means to be president. Does that also encompass interim president? Is that solely the official non-interim president? That's something I think would be important. Even if the interim president is considered the president in that section of the bylaw, there also needs to be, I think, at some point a discussion about whether it makes sense for the position to be replaced twice. So there's a certain period of time where the VP of Finance fills in, but then there can be a second interim president until the president is permanently selected by election or by students' council. So does that double turnover make sense? And I don't know if we need to have that conversation right now. I certainly need more time to think about that. But I would like to come to the bylaw committee for the second reading to be drafted to discuss this further.
Thank you very much. Councillor Smith.
Just in reference to that comment, in the wording of this, it says when a vacancy occurs, and because of bylaw, it does state that if the president's gone, the VP office does move up, so there's not really a time of vacancy explicitly, and my reading of the bylaw, and also with respect to, I'm going to actually leave it at that, but we just didn't want to get it redundant in here to restate things that are already in bylaw, but I do recommend if anyone wants to come to bylaw committee, it's Wednesday or tomorrow at 5:30, 6 or 6.
Thank you very much. Is there any further debate? Seeing none, we will move to a vote. The motion reads, Smith moves that upon the recommendation of the Bylaw Committee, of Students' Council, and this was seconded by Vice President Sumar, I believe.
Yes.
Smith Sumar moves that upon the recommendation of the Bylaw Committee, Students' Council approve Bill Number 1, that Students' Council adopt the Bylaw Replenishment in first reading based on the following principles. Number 1. The Students' Union should have a procedure to replenish vacant Executive and Board of Governors representative positions that is democratic, expedient, and transparent. Number 2, an Executive Selection Nomination Committee should be used to narrow the pool of candidates to 10 should over 10 candidates apply. Number 3, if the vacancy occurs in time for the position to be filled in the September by-election, an interim executive shall be placed in the position until this by-election by Students' Council. Number 4, if the vacancy occurs after the September by-election, Students' Council shall choose the person to fill the position for the remainder of the position's general elected term. I'm going to have to turn this off again. Whatever Skype to vote. If you're on Skype, feel free to type in your vote. Number 1 will be for a vote in favor, number 2 will be an abstention, and number 3 will be for a vote against. You may vote now. Voting will close in 3, 2, 1. That motion clearly passes. Okay, moving on to item 7C. Sumar moves that Students' Council amend Council Standing Orders as attached. Amend Section 38.1 to read as follows. 38.1, a summer retreat for Students' Council members will be held before July 31st of each year, striking June 30th. Go ahead, sir.
Are we not doing point 7.8 and 7.C before 7.C?
Yes, that is in fact a very well used point of order. Thank you very much, Councillor Smith. I just call you Councillor Smith, Councillor Bowen. Wow, okay. Item 7A, I apologize, this is on the main agenda. Sumar moves that Students' Council amend Council Standing Orders as follows. Addition of 3, subsection 2, which would read as follows. Members of Students' Council must be notified of additional meetings of Council no later than 97 hours prior to the meeting time. The sections that follow would be renumbered accordingly. And I'll put that on the screen. Is there a seconder to this motion? Councillor Chaudhry. Very well. Councillor Sumar, would you care, Vice President Sumar, would you care to introduce?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wanted to move this amendment to Council Standing Orders because, as you can see, attached in 12-04.02, if you read under Council Meetings, I'm not sure if I'm reading from papers here. So,
Since it's in front of the Assembly, that is fine, sir.
Thank you. If you read Council Meetings 3, subsection 3, it does state a timeline for cancellation of meetings. So I just wanted to see if Council was interested in also adding a timeline for additional meetings. I picked 97 hours just because it was stated in the clause of the follow-up. If you guys are interested in that.
the number of hours, and that is the for amendment. So, yeah.
Thank you very much. So any debate on this motion? Councillor Bellinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll just be in favor of this amendment, mainly because I think people realize that we didn't have this in our standing orders already. I thought this was actually already part of it, so it fits quite nicely. I was going to ask where the 97 hours came from, but since it matches the exact point below, I think that's a perfect idea. This is a timeline to follow, so yeah, definitely voting in favor.
Thank you very much. Is there any further debate? Councillor Smith.
I guess just in regards to that 97 hours, I just find that it might be an issue in the case of an emergency, be it something happens with the executive. We might have 4 days, I believe, roughly. Yeah, it does seem like quite a while. And in some extreme cases, it might be better, we might need to do it more.
Thank you very much. Vice President Sumar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To address Councillor Smith's point, this is very well taken. However, if you also notice, there's no contingency for an emergency in meeting cancellations either. I think an emergency is a very, very special circumstance in terms of HR, human resources issue or any other issues that come up. It's an emergency issue. You can't really plan for that. For those of you who were on council retreat, there was a time when our current general manager, who was the president, had your council meeting sort of on a dime. I'm not sure if it was written in standing orders at that point that the meeting must be canceled, but at least 97 hours prior to the meeting taking place. But I think emergencies are very special circumstances. If someone would like to move an amendment to add that to standing orders as well, that is also well taken. So I just wanted to know that.
Thank you very much. Councillor Lake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is on the floor. 97 hours is 4 days plus 1 hour. Is there any reason to that?
Is there any further debate? Seeing none, we will move to a vote. So the motion is before you. Sumar Chowdhury moves that Students' Council amend Council standing orders as follows. Addition of 3 subsection 2, which would read as follows. Members of Students' Council must be notified of additional meetings of Council no later than 97 hours prior to the meeting time. The sections that follow would be renumbered accordingly. You can see, in case anybody is wondering, in the attachments I hope you've all found, on the next page, the actual look of what standing orders would look like in the main agenda. If you have any questions about that, feel free to ask a point of parliamentary inquiry and I'll be able to point it out to you. Otherwise, I'm assuming everybody can see that. And with that, we'll move to a vote. Again, 1 being in favor, 2 being abstention, and 3 being against. You may vote now. Voting will close in 3, 2, 1. That motion carries. Moving on to. Go ahead. Oh, it's fine. It's the vote's canceled. It's just the lights blink on things that haven't been voted yet. Okay. Item 7B. Main agenda. Sumar moves that Students' Council amend Council standing orders as follows. Removal of Section 35, Subsection 1, dress code, and renumbered accordingly. Again, if you look at the attachments on the following page, SC12-04-02, you can see what it would look like. Is there a seconder to hearing this motion? Councillor Smith? Very well. Councillor, or Vice President Sumar, excuse me, would you care to introduce?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So this amendment to standing orders, prior to the last meeting of Students Council the previous year, this was added by the Council Administration Committee because they have the power to change standing orders as they see fit. I just wanted to see what Council thought of this clause. I'm hoping that Councilor Gallagher in particular can shed some light on his motion in CAC to add this to standing orders. But basically, the reason why I'm making this amendment is because there is no real definition for professionally in this dress code. I can speak to more reasons during a speech. So.
Thank you very much. Is there any debate? Councilor Bellinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, brief history lesson here. This point 35 in the dress code flight came into effect last year, right before the last meeting of council, right after the last meeting of CAC of last year. As CAC, we sat down and we combed through standing orders again, and we went through ideas and recommendations of what we should be putting into standing orders as per what happened over the course of the previous year. There were other amendments made. This is only one of the ones that we stuck in relatively last minute. While I definitely appreciate calls for more consultation on the issues such as dress code, I really think that this is a good time to do it. Now is a great time to talk about how we feel about addressing and, you know, what standards we hold ourselves to here at council, not just verbally but also physically. My reasoning for keeping this this amendment to standing orders, but my reasoning stands the same as last year, which I didn't really have an adequate part to or an adequate time to explain. My reasons are threefold. One, we're here representing ourselves as we are in council. Second, we're representing students from our faculties in council. And third, we're representing the students' union to anyone externally, anyone who's sitting at other meetings, anyone who's exposed to our meetings, anyone, you know, otherwise. So, to speak first to how we represent ourselves to students and the idea of how professional might not really cut it for wording, I'd actually argue that everyone, well, minus a couple folks, really understand this already. Imagine for a second what your campaign poster looked like when you were advertising yourself to students. What were you wearing? For the vast majority of us, looking back at last year, with the exception of a couple of presidents, we were dressed very professionally. People were dressed in what I would consider professional attire. I don't believe it's a very conflictual message, but second, speaking about how we represent the SU to external folks here, as we've now seen this year and many times last year, we have lots of folks in from either architecture firms or the Board of Governors or other folks who work here at the university administration. And how we address is often the first impact of how they witness the Students Union in order here. So I think a great way to show them that we're here and that we're willing to work and working hard and we should be taking seriously, to take our own selves seriously and dress professionally while we're here. This is not a question of being elitist. This is not a question of affordability. This is not a question of class. This is a question purely of being able to display ourselves as professional representatives of students while we're here on campus, which is quite frankly what we are. And again, the vast majority of us are already dressing professionally. Looking around the room, there's only a small contingent of us who I would consider are not dressed professionally. And I mean, if you have questions about that, ask anyone.
Sorry, point of information.
Yes, please.
I'm just wondering if you can point out what you see as unprofessional on some people's dress.
I won't point out what specific people are wearing. And I won't point out what I believe is professional. Professional defined by many different people in many different ways. In a general look, I think it's easy to see what is professional and what is not. Not pointing fingers while we're here at council.
Just making eye contact.
Just making eye contact. I had a last point. I've forgotten that last point, but graciously enough, I have a second speaking turn, so I'll think about that. So again, I speak against this. Oh, yes, I remember it. Last point. Make it time. For those who would argue that this is unenforceable, right now, quite frankly, it is unenforceable in terms of our rules. It's a standing order like many others with our suggestions for how we are at council. They're not strict, hard, fast rules where fines and penalties apply for not applying to them. I would sincerely only hope that the only penalty for not dressing professionally is being witnessed in a very different light than the other representatives on student council who are dressing professionally. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Vice President Sumar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Obviously, as a mover of this amendment, I'll be speaking in favor of this amendment to standing orders. There are several sort of different problems I see with this particular item of standing orders. The first, like I pointed out during the introduction, was that there is no definition of professional and professionally provided with this item. As Councillor Bellinger pointed out, different people have different views of what professional is and how dress is considered professional. Looking around the room, in my opinion, I see everyone is dressed professionally because at the end of the day, every single person here is a student. I personally, as an executive or as a student, I don't really try to dress differently. I feel I'm a representative of students, and as a student, I would wear a Felix the Cat shirt. I don't think it's inappropriate for me to wear something like this. And I think, to be honest, I think it speaks more when we dress the way we do in every day to our representation on council. People, the electorate didn't vote for us because we were dressed a certain way. They voted for us because of our ideas, because of our thoughts, because of our goals, not because of the way we were dressed. The second thing I see is, as Councillor Bellinger himself pointed out, was there is no sort of measure for this. According to Bylaw 100, I believe, standing orders is an ongoing instruction to council. If somebody is dressed inappropriately, there should be some sort of measure for them, and that is clearly not stated within this clause. If council decides that this item of standing orders should remain, I would also invite them to make some amendments to define professionally, as well as talk about some of the measures taken when a member of council is not dressed professionally. Just as an example, and I'm sorry to be pointing people out, but I think at the last meeting of Students' Council, or the meeting before, I noticed that Councillor Milner, who walked in a few minutes late because of work, and he works at College for Painters. According to me, whether or not he was wearing the stuff he'd normally wear when he was painting, I thought he was still dressed as a student because he's a hardworking member of the student community who unfortunately did not have time to change out of his College Pro Painter outfit. So, sorry, Councilor Milner, I was talking about you. So, I think he, from my standpoint, anyways, he was dressed professionally because he was dressed as a student and he was dressed as someone who represents students because during the summertime students are hardworking. They work at different sorts of jobs. And I think, in my opinion at least, he was dressed professionally, and I don't sort of need an item of standing orders to tell me whether he was dressed professionally or not. I think this is too subjective as an item of standing orders, and I don't think it's, we should not be judging people based on their dress. We should be judging people based on their ideas, as is written to the oath of office. We will not oppose people, we will oppose their ideas. So I think, to an extent, this sort of speaks against that oath. Sorry that I'm continuing to ramble on, but I'll leave it at that.
Thank you very much. Councillor Wynne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, on my poster, I only see my face, but or my glasses, not how I dress. People voted for me because of my face, not because of where I dress. Secondly, the way we dress does not reflect how we're going to work on the student council. You know, someday I'll be wearing really weird clothes going on to like student council. Doesn't mean I'm not serious about it, right? I just want to be as comfortable as I am. And I'm pretty sure if you walk around campus, a lot of students are going to wear like jeans. In fact, most popular clothing on campus is actually sweat. And that actually not professional. If we dress like student, we should be wearing sweat every day if we go into student council. So basically, I'm not going to talk rambling on, echoing like Yosuma. But you know, I respect people for the way they are, not the way they dress. So please, don't do this. Take it off.
I don't mean to call it. I mean like the, you know what I mean. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councillor Smith.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I would also like to speak in favor of this motion. One thing that I think might have been, at least when I first heard about this, the intent is to protect against the extremes. If someone comes in and, you know, is naked on the floor, you know. But like, there, for the really extreme situations where it could pose a substantial issue because they're not within the scope of what, you know, students would generally wear theirs, or is the, I believe, someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe there's the call for decorum, and if someone, you know, does come in, you know, naked or with offensive, you know, or with offensive clothing on that has a slogan that they find offensive, there's still means within Robert's rules. I think that in general, though, there is something to be said for showing the diversity of campus.
Thank you very much. President Yamagishi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Call the question.
President Yamagishi has called the question, which basically means calling to a vote, and that is... needs a seconder, but there is no debate. And it requires a two-thirds vote. So is there a seconder to this motion? Vice President Sumar? There's no debate on this motion. So we need a two-thirds majority vote in order to call this to question. So we're going to use the voting system. Again. So, again, this is a vote on whether or not you want to close debate. A 1 will be yes, a 2 will be abstain, and a 3 will be no. You may vote now. Voting will close in 3, 2, 1. That motion passes. So with that, we will vote on the main motion.
Council division, Mr. Speaker.
Very well.
Call for division, what does that mean?
Good question. A call for division is basically a call for each vote to be recorded separately. So how this will work is I will read out the attendance list and counselors can say yes, no, or abstain, and your vote will be officially recorded on the record. Individuals on Skype, I will just call your name and you'll be, you can speak out loud like any other individual. So again, this vote is on the motion. Sumar moves that Students' Council amend Council's standing orders as follows. Removal of Section 35, Subsection 1, Dress Code, and renumber accordingly. President Yamagishi.
In favor.
Vice President Chellen.
In favor.
Vice President Kuzmu.
In favor.
Vice President Shima.
In favor.
Vice President Sumar.
Yes.
Governor Kelly.
In favor.
Councilor Milner.
In favor.
Councilor Kim. Councilor McGinn. Councilor Kinda. Councilor Mills. Oh, I apologize. Ms. Boutwell for Councilor Kinda. Councilor Mills. Councilor Mills. Councilor Mills, you can speak.
She's not here.
Councilor Ruth.
In favor.
Councilor Borden.
In favor.
Councilor Lay.
Abstain.
Councilor Holt. Councilor Smith.
In favor.
Councilor Curlew. Councilor Lang. Councilor Crone.
In favor.
Councilor Babick.
In favor.
Councilor Reitz, Mr. Lott for Councilor Reitz.
In favor.
Councilor Carson.
Abstain.
Councilor Bellinger.
Opposed.
Councilor Chaudhry.
In favor.
Councilor Champagne.
In favor.
Councilor Trong.
In favor.
Councilor Cucci Gazelle.
In favor.
Councilor Nguyen.
Hell yeah.
Councilor Pham. Councilor Bowie. Councilor Monfries.
In favor.
Councilor Hodson. Very well, that motion passes. So we will move on to the last item of business for the day. Which is item 7C. Sumara moves that Students' Council amend Council Standing Orders as attached, amending section 38 subsection 1 to read as follows. 38 subsection 1, a summer retreat for Students' Council members will be held before July 31st of each year, striking out June 30th. Is there a seconder to hearing this motion? Councilor Smith. Vice President Sumara, would you care to introduce?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment simply comes out of the council retreat that happened this year. We had a very unique situation in which members of the executive committee were only available for one weekend during June. And felt that this item of standing orders was a little bit restrictive on the Council Administration Committee.
Mr. Vice President, just to remind you, you're just meant to be introducing what the motion is pertaining to, not necessarily.